Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, it's Faye Davis, and today I am talking with Lenora Fisher. Lenora is the Director of Business Attraction at the Greater Peoria Economic Development Corporation, and I'm really excited to share this interview. She is just dynamite. She dives into the importance of being able to understand multiple angles of a single issue, which really is an especially essential skill for economic developers to have. She has some really great insight on placemaking and what makes a community both magnetic and sticky. And Lenora is one of this year's North America's top 50 economic developers. I really enjoyed learning from her, and I'm super excited to share our conversation with you. So here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am super excited because I am here today with Lenora Fisher. And Lenora is one of our top 50 economic developers this year. So excited to have you. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks. Busy first quarter. It's exciting.
Yeah. That we were just, before we started recording, we were just talking about that. So we will get to that. But first, I want to kick things off. We love hearing people's journey into economic development. So what was your plan when you went to college? And how did you end up in economic development? Because you have an interesting story.
Thanks. Yeah, it has been interesting. It's funny because we talk about it here at the office. Like I got in, I think if I'd known that economic development was a career like right away, I would have been on it. I mean, like it's neat how it incorporates a lot of my passions. But when I went into college, I originally thought I was going to be a music major, music, you know, just a passion, a love, things like that. I ended up with a religion degree and a sociology degree. So very broad and not a real direct career path. And then I've done a lot of random things, it seems like, over the course of my career, but it's kind of neat how they all come together in economic development. So it's a winding journey, but it's fun because I don't think I would trade any of it. It all comes together in this, which is just awesome.
Well, one of the things that you did in your career is that you were part of the 2008 Obama presidency campaign. So what made you decide to leave a winning team and, in your words, build bridges along division instead? So how has your experience with a political campaign like that helped shape your lens on economic development?
It's a great question. I think, you know, being from the Midwest, you know, we have, well, any part of the country really, but, you know, where you're from, where your roots are, you're impacted by that culture. And so part of the Midwest culture, you know, hard work, good Midwestern values, like great work ethic, close to the land. There's all these things that I, you know, I knew about this place that I really valued. But when I went out east, you know, the narrative was more, you know, flyover country and, you know, backwards. And so, and, you know, it was, and then what I was hearing when I would come back here was how inside the Beltway, you know, politics and just so much fraught. There was so much fraught conversation around what it ended up being like. It felt like they were, you know, it's like we, in a sense, we demonize the other or we make people the other when we're talking about something that's not familiar, you know, we're not familiar with, but that impacts our lives. And I just was really being able to put myself in both shoes. I was really conscious of some of the misunderstanding and just a real passion to build understanding and connection and hopefully conflict. You know, my graduate degree is in conflict resolution. So ways that we can help bring people together constructively and live together in the public square effectively, well, you know, in a place that allows us to thrive. So all of that. So what I found, you know, on a political campaign, and what was interesting is my family tends to be really conservative politically. And then I worked on the Obama campaign, which was a Democratic campaign. So again, it was like, you know, everybody, like, I won't allow people to talk about whoever the other is negatively. You know, it's like, what's going on here? So that was what kind of brought me back to the Midwest and what is my values and what drives me to do what I do. How that relates to economic development is, well, it, in my mind, it relates in all ways. So like, you know, with politicians, you know, if there's I think it's easy to demonize politicians, but kind of understanding who they are, what's going on. So, you know, we need politicians and politics to get things done in a community. But then also understanding, like working on a political campaign, I mean, the way we did it was that we did it grassroots, and we engaged the public in affecting a change that we wanted to see. So, you know, so the kind of give and take there, that relates to economic development and, you know, what do we want to see in our community? Like, how do we make that change happen? Who do we need to engage to do that? So that was kind of, I think, maybe my most direct answer to that question, but I could go on forever, so I won't.
No, but actually, I love what you said about being able to see both sides, because that's a skill that a lot of people want to have, but it's not an easy skill to hone, to have that ability to talk with one person and present the opposite side of the coin, but then go to a different person who might have opposing views from that first person, and you're still able to present the other side of the coin. So you're able to really go back and forth, and that conflict resolution. I just, out of curiosity, what made you decide to get a conflict resolution postgraduate degree?
In college, I was really interested, again, in how people show up in the public square and how their values inform how they show up in the public square. So I grew up in the military and then kind of was exposed firsthand. I worked on the South Side of Chicago and kind of got a real hardcore introduction to race in America in Chicago. And then I went directly from there to Israel and Palestine and had both Israeli and Palestinian tour guides, that kind of a sociology trip. So it was a little more in depth than just a tourist trip. And saw some of the, just kind of so an extreme example of kind of how conflict perpetuates and some negative situations there. So, and I just kept thinking, like, you know, religion informs our values. It shows up who we are and how we interact with others and why. And so, like, and then, you know, if you look over the course, you know, the theory is that oftentimes there are conflicts across the world along religious lines. And so I was like, well, you know, conflict resolution. So I have two degrees. I have a master of theology, and then I have a master's in international conflict resolution, international.
I love it. That's super awesome.
It's a cool program.
Well, shifting gears just a little bit. I'm just fascinated by you and your journey and the things that we send out a questionnaire to our top 50 people and the things you wrote in that. So I'm just really fascinated by you. So I want to know, if you had the opportunity to give your younger self a piece of advice, what would that be?
If I was talking to my younger self, and what I share with my interns is, like, I used to like really want to like know what I wanted to do, right? Like have a calling in a sense, or like a real clear vision and a path to where I wanted to go. And I didn't have that early on. Again, I think if I'd seen economic development, it would have been it. But what I realize in retrospect is that, like, everything I did along the way really related and mattered. And even like the menial stuff, like, you know, the building the matrices and the databases, you know, for an internship that felt really menial and hard to do at the time, like, are invaluable skills to what I do today. Like, it relates so, so essentially. And, you know, at that time, I felt a little lost. Like, I was like, well, why am I doing this? Or like, is this really what I want to be doing? And is there value in this? And it's like, in retrospect, yes, it, like, every stage of that journey has so much value and so much to teach you. And, you know, and I do, I use all of it every day. And it's shocking. It's really neat how it comes together.
Love that. Lenora, you're a really huge practitioner of and advocate for taking care of yourself. So what we see and what we hear, especially often these days, is that constant and increasing pace of work and that trend towards burnout, right? Especially last year, it was already an upcoming trend. It was already something that we were hearing about a lot. And last year just like shot it through the roof. I have talked with people in this industry who, you know, off the microphone were like, I got to give it to you real. Like, I was legit burned out. Like, I could barely get myself off the couch, wanted to, you know, quit my job, quit industries, and then realize that, you know, it's in every industry that's going on. So what advice do you have, and how do you manage your energy in order to really toe that line between working really hard and fueling your fire and running the risk of burning out?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. And, you know, I don't know that if any of us ever have the answer, really. But for me, I know that like in order to show up and be my best and do my best and to like accomplish the things I want to accomplish, like I have to have a functioning system. And I've learned over the years, I think the Obama campaign was actually a good teacher of this. Like, you know, we worked like 7 days a week, like 14-hour days for 2 years. And I couldn't do it. Like, you know, the health ramifications, the way I felt, how long it took to kind of recover and try to get, you know, kind of on with my life after that. It was very, very prescient to me that like how essential my body is for, you know, like I get to walk around in this body. So like take care of it so that I can do the work. And, you know, there will always be more work, always. I have an arm injury, like my arm work, like the way my arm will work best is if I give it a break and let it, you know, like let it rest, then I get to like be all in the next day, you know, or sleep, like sleep matters. And like, it helps my brain function and what I eat matters. And if I exercise matters. And so, you know, it's like building your life around like, you know, building your priorities around like your hard assets. It's like economic development really, right? Like what do we have to sell? We have to sell our buildings, our sites, our like hard assets. And like, and then like, so making sure that those are in good shape and working order is going to, you know, allow you to do all the other things. So kind of, I try to prioritize that. So I start with those and then I build around that.
I love it. All right. So economic development these days is starting to evolve. And I shouldn't even say starting to, it is evolving. It has evolved. It will continue to evolve beyond just that business retention and expansion and attraction. And it's starting to go into more of that placemaking field. What do you think makes a community like magnetic for people, a sticky place to stay, magnetic for people to come to? What do you think?
I love this question. What I think makes a community is one, being someplace somebody can enter and navigate easily. So directories, like interest groups, things like that. Like people want to plug into a community, but like until you know what community to plug into, you still need to be able to access it. So just being like, think Disney, like we want to help people find what they want to do. And how do you equip the people that are visiting to have that experience when they enter your community? The other thing that I am really, really passionate about is like active living, walkability, bikeability, like access. So, you know, car transportation is necessary. We've built an entire world, like country around cars. However, like that's a built environment, and the communities that you like to visit and participate in that you know best are the ones that you have like direct interaction with. And when you're walking or biking or have that kind of tangible experience and opportunity to see what you're passing by, like you know that place better. Like, and so, and that goes along also with the health trends. I think all of us are realizing that like our food matters and the environment matters and things like that. And, you know, if, you know, communities that are really making that possible. And so in the neighborhoods and the cities and the small towns even that have like, you know, like a robust little downtown where you can walk from thing to thing to thing, like not a strip mall shopping center, not that there's anything wrong with that, but like where there are these pockets where you can park and just take in and enjoy and spend some time. Those are the things that I think make a place.
How are you taking, taking those views and applying them in Peoria?
We have a lot of room for improvement, I think. We have an extensive park district. I think Peoria was like the first park district, and we have like the most park land in the country or something like that. We do have bike trails, Rock Island Trail. We've got several bike trails. I think there is interest in, and then we have a warehouse district with some incredible, beautiful buildings, but it kind of was neglected like a lot of communities for a while. So we have an active like effort to really kind of fill in those gaps in the downtown core and in the warehouse district and make that a very vibrant place, walkable. there are our Tri-County Regional Planning Commission is the one that kind of helps with transportation studies. And they have done a great job of looking like they've, you know, mapping what's here and connecting those dots. So trying to connect our bike trails so that there's a big loop. And they've brought in Strong Towns. I don't know if you know them. I love them. Chuck Marone came and talked, you know, to kind of like start spearing the thinking and about how we kind of further boost and enhance all of that. So early conversations, but they're happening. And I am excited about them happening because like I was in St. Louis before this, you know, and we were having those conversations then. And now when you look visit St. Louis, I mean, things are hopping. So, you know, it's happening here too. But
those conversations are so exciting. I think they're in the beginning, they can be really hard because it's so easy for community members to be like, it's fine the way it is. Like, I enjoy living here. Why do we need to worry about it? But as you see the fruits of your labor coming to life, I think that's like a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We got a Bloomberg grant a couple of years ago that started like really digging into this and, you know, doing road diets and walkability in the downtown core and stuff. And it's, I mean, it's a slow process, but it's the right one and it's exciting.
100%. All right. I'm going to end on this one last question. I know I sent you two more questions, but I'm going to end on this last one. And I'm going to pick the one that I think that you just have really good insight on because it's something that we started off talking about. So when we're thinking about the past 13 months, it has really brought to light how deep the lines of polarization run in this country. So from your perspective, what do you believe is the role of economic developers in creating greater social change and more opportunities for those who need it most? It's a light one for you.
Yeah. this one I thought about. So greater social change and more opportunities for the ones that need it most. So a couple guiding principles, right? Like the places that we love are the places that have kind of turned perceived weaknesses, I'm putting that in air quotes, and you know, or opportunities could be said differently, into their strengths. And our hard assets, again, like what is it that we have here? Like that hard survey of like what exists, like who are we and where do we want to be? And then how do we close that gap? And so like, I think we have to serve our community. We have to serve our people. Our people are our biggest assets. Our people are our biggest advocates or they speak against us. And our people are what this community is about. So like, you know, you guys talk about the consultant to connect talks about jobs, you know, jobs being really important and like jobs equip people to live lives, you know, live good lives. But like, it's still like we're people, we're on this planet, like, and we all have worth. And, you know, so we as economic developers are serving our people and helping our people to live lives that are their best lives. And so I don't know, you know, I feel like social change and opportunities for the ones that need it most show up, listen, you know, validate and like respond to the needs. And like, when you do that as an economic developer, honestly and authentically, and, you know, with commitment, like you get to move that needle with the, you know, people in the community that are also doing that. So, you know, you've got all sorts of stakeholders in a community. So like, just pay attention to the assets and what are there and realize that like, maybe what seems like that we do have challenges, but those challenges are our opportunity to, like, those are our challenges are also our biggest strengths.
Yes. I love that. And I love what you just said. Like, as long as we come to the table authentically and earnestly and really want to help make a difference, that's when we will be able to move that needle. So I think this is a wonderful note to end on. Lenora, I'm so glad you took the time to talk with me today. I'm so glad to be sharing your insights with our listening audience. And I really hope to see you in person one of these days.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.